Number one, Biden has said 5 or 6 times now he's not getting out of the race. So if that's true and settled and he means it, no matter what the polls show, at a certain point, they've got to start playing with the cards they have. Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, my appearance on Radio Catskill. Well, typically on this podcast, I'm the one asking questions, but the other day I had a chance to join our colleagues at WJFF Radio Catskill, one of our partners in the New York Public News Collaborative. Host Tim Bruno and I spoke about the election, the assassination attempt, and President Biden's standing in the Democratic Party. Here's that conversation.
First, I just wanted to start off with your take on J.D. Vance as a vice presidential pick for former President Trump.
Well, it seems to be sort of the favorite getting picked for the vice presidential slot, at least according to the eventual shortlist of the longer shortlist that we saw. I was closely watching to see what would happen with Congresswoman Elise Stefanik from Northern New York from the 21st District. She was on, according to a lot of reporting, the first shortlist of candidates. And when asked about it, she said that she would be happy to serve in a Trump administration if he's able to win the White House a second time. So when the news came down that J.D. Vance was picked for the ticket, I don't think it was a huge surprise. It seemed to be going in that direction in the last few days. And Elise Stefanik from Northern New York put out a very magnanimous statement about Vance being picked, said that she's gotten to know him on the campaign trail and looks forward to campaigning with him. Some analysis I've heard since the pick, you know, is slightly puzzled by the choice in some ways because Ohio is already trending red in the election, and Vance can be a polarizing figure on a national stage. But clearly, you know, Trump picked somebody who looked the part and someone he can get along with. And, you know, it adds a different dynamic here just because Vance is 39 and Trump is in his late 70s.
Elise Stefanik certainly lobbied, auditioned for the role, if you will. And, you know, it is unusual, I thought, just based on previous ways that presidential candidates pick strategically their vice presidential running mate. You usually look to someone who can deliver some delegates for you or make some inroads in a state where you're struggling. And as you said, Ohio seems to be pretty firmly in the red column. Elise Stefanik would have helped maybe in New York.
It's possible. She, when pledging the delegates to Trump on the first day of the convention in Milwaukee, said Trump will carry New York. Now, that's tough sledding. It's certainly possible, I suppose. It hasn't happened since 1984, the Ronald Reagan landslide year that New York went red. But looking at the 2022 gubernatorial election, where Lee Zeldin kind of overperformed, and we know President Biden, his popularity is low in New York, although Donald Trump's is still lower, according to public polls, than Biden's is. So we'll see if Republicans can flip New York State. If that ever happened, then that is game over for the Democrats in this fall election, obviously.
Let's talk about this assassination attempt on former President Trump on Saturday in Pennsylvania at his rally. How do you think that changes the dynamic of the campaign, specifically in New York State?
Honestly, I don't think we know yet. I think it's such a weird thing to have experienced as a nation. Just a stunning video, a stunning couple of days. Trump now shows up to the convention with a bandage on his ear. And when President Biden, who has spoken on the shooting a few times now, tried to reach for sort of unity and saying things like, you know, he spoke to Trump on the phone and he said political violence doesn't have any place in New York, in our politics, especially, I guess, in New York State. But, you know, I don't think we know what the lasting impact will be. There were some very dramatic photos, obviously, taken of Trump surviving the attempt. And the question, I think, for both sides now is, do they mean what they say about toning down political rhetoric? I tend to think that that is going to last a very short amount of time because the stakes are extremely high. There's no love lost between these candidates. And I think it is not in dispute that Trump as a candidate, as a president, has countenanced a lot of violent rhetoric in our politics. So now the shoe's on the other foot a little bit. You know, I've heard that about Trump before. He's been a public figure for a decade in presidential politics now, and I've heard about a lot of Trump pivots that didn't happen. So, you know, we'll see if that's real or not.
Do you think it has a bearing on some of these very competitive seats in the congressional seats in New York State, some of which flipped last election, some which could flip or stay where they are?
Yes, I do. And I think it's an enthusiasm question. We're talking about, you know, control of the U.S. House went through upstate New York last time around. People like Mike Lawler and Mark Molinaro, Claudia Tenney, perhaps, folks who, you know, were seen as potentially vulnerable in this presidential election year. And the question, and I think why Democrats, some of them have called on Biden to go, some of them in our coverage area, like Pat Ryan, who won two really close elections to Congress. Why some of those folks are calling on Biden to get out of the race is fear about how the dynamics look here in July for November. If Trump is resurgent, if he has a ton of enthusiasm on his side, and if Biden is seen as potentially weak or unable to do the job for another 4 years and not inspiring Democrats who are having something of a civil war within their own party right now about keeping him on the ticket, suddenly those, you know, marginal first term candidates, they have an easier road to hold on to the seat. You know, if Trump wins the election at the top of the ticket, it makes it really hard for Democrats to flip the House of Representatives. And the Senate is already seen as a Republican pickup in all likelihood. So I think that's where you're seeing a lot of the unease from down ballot Democratic candidates who would like to see Biden get out. They're looking at the same polls we are, probably better internal polls showing how far behind Biden is right now. And one other point I'll make on that, if you see national polls that say it's a toss up, that it's a virtual tie, that's interesting, but that doesn't tell us how the Electoral College is going to go. And if you're trailing by 2, 3, 4, and 5 points in very important strategic Electoral College states that you won last time that you're in danger of losing this time, that shows you how the national race might go.
We spoke to Representative Molinaro in New York 19 in our listening area. One thing he said, you know, besides denouncing the shooting and showing his support for President Trump, he's not attending the convention in Milwaukee. He said it's because he has 4 kids. I actually thought it was sort of interesting, though, that you're in this very competitive district and you're not going to this main convention to show all of this support. Again, he said it's because he has kids, but I just thought that was an interesting point.
You know, and his path to Trump support has been a winding one. I ask him about it on every congressional corner conversation we have. You know, he said that he wrote in former Congressman Chris Gibson for president last time around. And this time he has endorsed Trump for election. I raised this with him in our last conversation. I said, you know, you've been in politics for your whole life. He was a teenage mayor, right? And he's been in the state assembly. He's been a county executive. He's been in Congress. And he's always pitched himself and promoted himself as a moderate who will, you know, bring both parties together and will not be a bomb-throwing radical. And he'll be a middle-of-the-road voice. He wants to hear disagreeing viewpoints. Even if people don't like what he's doing, he thinks it's important. And I said to him, you have a lot more in common temperamentally with Joe Biden than you do with Donald Trump. And he said, it's not about temperament, it's about policies, and I'm backing Trump this year. And, you know, it's a Republican unified party in a way that we haven't seen during this whole primary process where people lined up to try to dethrone Trump, you know, people like Nikki Haley and Governor DeSantis. And look, he wins, at least in the Republican primaries within the party, the loyalty is there. And Molinaro is not a stupid politician by any stretch.
You know, prior to this assassination attempt on Saturday, all the conversation, all the chatter was about Biden leaving the race. Should he leave the race? New York Democrats are still pretty divided on that issue. That hasn't gone away.
I wonder what would have happened without the shooting on Saturday. Because you've seen these things before. It's very hard to get the horse back in the barn once it starts. The chatter has been there since the first debate, and it's grown because how does Biden at 81, who has halting public appearances, change the essential question about whether he's too old at this point? From some anonymous sourced reporting, it's been said that former Speaker Pelosi is still kind of working the phones to try to get Biden off the ticket. But there was a moment, I thought, where it seemed like the dam might break. People like Lieutenant Governor Delgado, who's not even on the ballot this year, said it's time for Biden to step aside. You had people like the aforementioned Pat Ryan, who has been a strong Biden supporter, saying, look, I could see the scoreboard right now. It's not looking good for November. And the question is, number one, Biden has said 5 or 6 times now he's not getting out of the race. So if that's true and settled and he means it, no matter what the polls show, at a certain point, they've got to start playing with the cards they have. And the second question is, is Biden seeing the same data that the rest of them are? Nobody 4 months out from the election would be trying to change their nominee if they thought they were winning.
But Governor Kathy Hochul came out very firmly behind President Biden recently, last few days.
Yeah, and multiple times. And she met with him in the White House when the governors went there. Interestingly, the Massachusetts governor, Maura Healey, was also in that governor's meeting. And she had a different take. She was not convinced that Biden is able to win and to do this job for another 4 years. Hochul has been a strong supporter, and I think a lot of these Democrats are between a rock and a hard place right now. If you stick with Biden and he loses and you lose control of the House and you lose control of the Senate and you lose a lot of key governorships, that makes 2025, look pretty bleak. But if you change a candidate a month out from the convention, that's also an unknown at this point. Polls are polls. They're a snapshot of a moment in time. They're not predictive of what happens on Election Day necessarily. We frankly don't know if another candidate would do well against Donald Trump or not. I think the question that they're grappling with right now is, can they change the essential dynamics of this race? And I think it's very, very difficult when you're seeing polls that show 4 out of 5 people think Biden is just too old. How you get off of that baseline at this point? There's been so much attention on these interviews that he's done, these broadcast interviews and his public appearances. But is he a magician? Does he have a rabbit to pull out of a hat to suddenly say, hey, I'm not old anymore? I don't see that happening.
Ian Pickus from WAMC, news director there, and our friend from the New York Public News Network. I am sure we will be speaking with you again soon.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great. Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks to our friends at Radio Catskill for the invitation. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.